Well, this is Mark Knopfler. The first time I heard Chet, I was probably about 14 or 15, and I just assumed it was multi-tracking and that it was impossible to play all those notes at one time on a guitar, so I just didn't think it was possible. I suppose I was trying to do things like... And I thought it was probably the sum total of my musical ability on the guitar, but if I heard... I just thought, well, that's another planet, and you don't ever get to be able to play like that. The basis of finger picking is your thumb on the bottom three strings and your fingers on the top three, and you get a rhythm going with your thumb on the bottom strings, like four to the bar, for instance, would be. And then once you get used to doing that, you start putting the fingers go in the spaces, you know, sort of, and so on and so forth, and then you start picking out tunes in the chord. And so on. And you play ragtime, you learn how to develop it and build on it until you can do all sorts of things. In fact, the first time I heard him playing, I think it was Lady Madonna, the Beatles song, and he played Lady Madonna, but he also did the whole thing, bass line, you know. So there was, you know, and there's a, you know, and he's doing the whole two of them together. And then he did a thing where he's playing some of the mind-boggling bit of, you know, circus stuff. What was it? He plays Yankee Doodle Dandy and Dixie at the same time. And I remember some folk worthy, I can't remember his name, who plays things like this, you know. Who everybody thinks is amazing, said something about how Chet had obviously multi-tracked all this stuff, you know. And it's the only time I've ever known Chet be upset. And he actually wrote into this particular publication, whoever it was, and said, so-and-so must, you know, should understand that, you know, there was no double-tracking and, you know, with practice, it's perfectly possible to... I had a little friend when I was, I think I met him first when I was about nine, and his sister had some records and had a hi-fi. Amongst those records were the Everly Brothers, and the Everly Brothers became an incredibly important part of my musical background, and he would be one little Everly and I would be the other one. I didn't realise that, of course, that was Chet playing on those records and fixing those records, arranging those records. I probably only found out in my later teens that was Chet. One of the things that I remember is the tremolo guitar, the tremolo on the amp. Something like dream, 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 all I have to do is dream, you know. And then also something like, was it? We used to have good times together, you know, and then there's those lovely little lines, and of course you realise that without Chet, the Everlys wouldn't have made the sound that they made, and the arrangements wouldn't have come out the way they did, and then the Beatles and lots of other people wouldn't have been influenced in the way that they were, because I think the Beatles were very influenced by the Evs. And so then you can say it's quite fair to say that Chet's had a bearing on the way that we actually comprehend, the way that we have learned to listen to popular music.
Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry.
I made a record called Stay Tuned, and I had done some sides with George Benson, which we couldn't release. We couldn't get our record labels to talk. They were upset at each other. But I got permission to use two of the tunes in Stay Tuned. Then Earl Clue had had me play on some of his records, and I thought, well, he owes me one, so I got him to play. And then the producer, David Hungate, great bass player from Toto, he suggested, well, said, you know, I can get Larry Carlton and a lot of these guys to play on it. So we got other players to play on it, and I was out in a store getting some speakers put in my car, and some of the Mark Knopfler, some Dire Straits albums lay in there, and I played one of them, and I thought, I believe that guy has heard me. I believe he sounds like me in certain areas. And so I told my manager, I said, you know, a guy I really admire, I think he plays great, is Mark Knopfler. I wish I could get him on this album. And he said, well, I know his manager, Ed Bicknell, said, I'll call him. So he called me back and says, call Mark at 6 o'clock tonight. So I called Mark, and Mark told me later, right before the call was going to come, he took a big snort of bourbon or something.
Yeah, man, it's not every day that Chet Atkins calls you up and asks you to play guitar with him on a record, you know. That was a real thrill. And I went straight over there, and Chet met me at the airport, and, you know, straight off something to eat, and we just started playing. And he had a player that with him, a friend of his called Paul Yandell, who does all the plays live with Chet all the time. And when we started playing, Chet said, hell, Paul, said, look at the length of that thumb. Look at his thumb. And I'd never really looked at my thumbs before. Then so Chet made some comparison, the length of my thumb with the length of something else. And it just went on from there, really. It was always good fun. And we just became friends through that. He had something he wanted me to play on, and so I played on it. I can't really remember what it was, but it got a Grammy. Because Chet and I were both pickers, I suppose that we had that certain amount of common ground, and plus we both used to fall asleep practicing, so I suppose there's some... We had something in common in terms of the pick. When we played together, we were both doing pretty much the same sort of thing. The two albums that Chet made that made most impression on me were the albums that he did, the one with Merle Travis and the one with Les Paul, Chester and Lester. And those two are the ones that I probably had most pleasure out of. And I think those two records I like very much because they seem to be nice and loose and quite happy records, and fairly rootsy and not too much in this easy listening jazz thing that Chet would be attracted to every now and again. And when it was time for us to make a record, I was interested in Chet's country roots much more than this jazz thing, and I didn't mince my words, you know, about that. I just, he knows that he's always going to get it straight from the... So with me, I'm going to tell him what I think, and I just really thought that he should get away from this easy-listening jazz music stuff, and I couldn't stand it then, I can't stand it now, and he knows that. And so, and I like his singing, and I like just the old thumb and one finger and singing, and these country roots. And I think that's really, that Atkins Travis stuff, that's where the roots of Chet's playing are. When I heard I'll See You in My Dreams, for instance, it's this sort of playing. You know. Tune, but nice to pick.
You play at a little higher level, I think, when you play with somebody else, because you try a little harder. maybe to impress the guy you're playing with, and you try to come up to his level and so on, and you try to play things that will inspire him to play licks off of what I've played. And yeah, it's a great experience, especially if you're around a friend who admires you like he admires me and like I admire him. I think he's one of the great players around. He doesn't know it, you know. He doesn't think he's a great player, but he is. And so it's great to play with musicians of his caliber.
I think Chet's always just been a sucker for these little tunes, you know, which is one of the great things about him. Well, I think what people forget is that Chet's quite happy to sit in his kitchen and play Kentucky or something like Just One Time with two chords in it, as he is to playing a piece of Segovia or playing something really complicated if he plays something. And I think that that's probably where he and I meet so well. We meet across the simple stuff, you know, when we part company, probably when it gets more complicated.
There'll be a change in the weather and...
You've played before.
Chetkins is inspirational because he'll write you a letter or call you up on the phone talking about a new tuning that he's discovered or something, things that I would never bother with and I'd never be interested in hunting down and finding out. And he's a reminder about staying in touch with and serving your talent and your gift and respecting it. And he's a great reminder for me to do that, to pay attention. And the thing with Chet and music is that he's always melodic. He'll always improvise melodically. He'll always play melody. Which is really essentially why Chet is not a jazz guitarist. He's not a jazz instrumentalist, really. As he says, I mean, Chet would just say, I don't know what the hell you'd call it. But what it is I think he's always been massively interested in harmony. So in other words, Chet will always play, he'll always play. There'll always be more than one note playing. He'll play in two sets. A lot of his stuff is, you know, like that. So, and whereas other people would be, you know, but Chet would always have something, you know, he'll always have interesting chords, but he's not really a jazzer. Chet loved the melodic and the emotional in music. So I think that's just it, that his love for music is so great, his love for the guitar is so great that nothing would make him stop, nothing would make him lay it down and leave it. He's full of jokes, you know, and every time that we're on the telephone, he'll always tell me a joke. And so then, I remember when we did this thing where we played Imagine on this charity thing, and he came off and we went back to the dressing room and he said, well, fooled him again.
Well, that's the end of the Chet Atkins story, I guess. Some of it. I'll leave you like I close my shows. Tune up after I get through with this. It's been something seeing you again, and in the time we've had to spend, you've been so nice to be around. I thank you for the special thrill to keep me going on until the next time I'm in town. Thank you, Mark Knopfler, for that song.
You've been listening to Chet Atkins, Certified Guitar Player. The interviews were by Pete Frame and the producer, Kevin Howlett. And the program is a Howlett Media production for BBC Radio 2.